Hello, and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Unix interoperability in Microsoft Windows Server 2003 R2. My name is Aaron Suzuki. Let's look at what we'll cover in this session. You all have probably heard of, or you may even use, Windows Services for Unix, or SFU. Many of the same or similar features in SFU have been moved directly into the operating system in Windows Server 2003 R2. The most important, most popular features that benefit businesses most have been added to make Unix interoperability even easier. This session is dedicated to talking about this and what is in it for you as an IT professional. The session assumes a certain amount of prerequisite knowledge. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we'll explain all the new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to the session or reference afterward. You'll get more from this session if you deal with a mixed or heterogeneous IT environment that uses both Windows and Unix or Linux servers that need to interoperate or have the same roles on both platforms. You'll also absorb these concepts quickly if you have any experience with services for Unix. Many of the features and functionality are the same. Like most TechNet sessions these days, we recommend that you're familiar with the capabilities of Windows Server 2003. Now let's take a look at our agenda for this session. We'll start this session talking about the need for Unix interoperability. It may be obvious to some, but it's worth reviewing so that we have the same context for the rest of the presentation. Next, we'll talk about what everyone is looking for from an interoperability solution. It's common for networks to be heterogeneous, with IT assets including servers, databases, applications, files, folders, printers, workstations, and mobile devices, functioning on both Unix and Windows platforms. Lost productivity resulting from dysfunctional integration of these systems is a significant cost and pain to organizations where business needs require coexistence of these platforms. There's additional pain and cost in the selection, installation, and support of third-party interoperability solutions, which might require additional knowledge and still only solve a portion of the interoperability and integration problem. There are a number of approaches to facilitate this interoperability. The following are some of the most common approaches. First, you can use the interoperability tools available on the Unix side, for example, Samba. You could also collect Unix tools as source code and port them to the Windows environment. You'd also be able to use third-party tools. Some third-party tools vendors include MKS, WRQ, Hummingbird, and others. The problem is that none of these is really a complete solution, which leaves administrators and developers to mix and match solutions, often needing support from disparate sources. So next, let's talk about how Windows Server 2003 R2 delivers on these needs. Windows Server 2003 R2 enables seamless Unix-Windows interoperability through a variety of technologies that we'll discuss in this session. The tools allow you to manage both platforms through one set of tools. There's no need to ignore or discard the hard-earned knowledge of Unix in your organization. By including Unix interoperability tools in Windows Server 2003 R2, you can maintain and continue to capitalize on existing Unix skills. You can even port applications across platforms. These tools have already had impact. Scores of organizations have taken advantage of earlier versions of the Unix interoperability tools included in Windows Server 2003 R2. And they've gotten results. We hope this evidence is a compelling reason for you to try them yourself if you haven't already. So now let's take a look at these features. We're going to review the Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2. There are several, and some may be familiar to you. After we review these features, we'll talk about various scenarios in which they can add value. First, let's look at interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2. There are three major functional components to the features included in Windows Server 2003 R2, as well as some additional tools that can help accelerate and streamline identity management and file server interoperability. First, the Subsystem for Unix Applications, or SUA, is an entire Unix platform encapsulated within the Windows Server 2003 R2 operating system. SUA was designed to allow you to run native Unix applications on Windows Server 2003 R2. SUA is integrated with Visual Studio 2005 to help developers take advantage of migration, integration, and extensibility opportunities with existing Unix applications. The tools in Windows Server 2003 R2 include bidirectional password synchronization. This helps minimize password management challenges. Windows Server 2003 R2 also includes a server for NIS, which allows a Windows Server 2003 R2 domain controller to be used as a master NIS server to administer a Unix NIS domain by using the NIS 2.0 protocol. Two more important pieces are NFS tools, including Client for NFS and Server for NFS, which allows NFS clients to access files on Windows-based computers, and the Username Mapping Server, which provides bidirectional one-to-one and many-to-one mapping between Unix user and group identities and Windows user and group identities. Many of these tools were included in SFU 3.5, but Windows Server 2003 R2 does not simply integrate SFU. Windows Server 2003 R2 performs many of the same functions that exist in Windows Services for Unix 3.5. Some Unix interoperability features are only available in SFU. The key functionality included in Windows Server 2003 R2 are NIS and Password Sync, NFS Server and Client Utilities, and the Subsystem for Unix Applications, or SUA. SUA is a new feature in Windows Server 2003 R2, but the functionality of SUA is similar to the functionality provided by SUA in SFU 3.5. The free BSD utilities and the GNU SDK are compiled specifically for SUA and will be available as a download. NFS Gateway and support for ASPerl, PCNFS, CDFS, FAT, FAT32 are only available in SFU 3.5. Now, let's see how these are installed. The Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2 are included in the box, but they're not installed by default. The installation is a simple Windows component install, which can be accomplished from the Start menu. Some of the components, specifically SUA and NFS, do not require a restart. To get the most from SUA, there is a downloadable Utilities and Software Development Kit, or SDK, which provides many of the common tools with which most administrators are accustomed to working. These tools include the editing program called VI, the shell environments, and literally hundreds of other tools and utilities. Next, let's look at a demonstration of installation. In this demo, we'll see the new way that you install Unix interoperability features. In this first demonstration, we're going to install various Unix interoperability components into a Windows Server 2003 R2 server. We're starting right at the beginning of the process. Having just turned our system on, we'll log in as the administrator who has the user rights necessary to install the components. The subsystem for Unix-based applications has its own unique installation. Although the software is included with Windows Server 2003 R2, it is not installed by default. The installation, however, is a simple Windows Component Edition. We navigate to the Windows Components installation in the conventional way through Add Remove Programs from the Start menu. Partway through the installation, we're prompted for the installation CD. As we all know, this is not an unusual requirement. For convenience, in our demo environment, we've copied the installation files to a folder on the C drive. The folder structure is exactly as it would appear on the installation CD. We're also reminded that we need to separately download the SUA, SDK, and utilities. This dialog box allows us to perform the download immediately. However, to save time in this demo, we've already downloaded the files, but we'll install them in the next demo, after we successfully finish the install of SUA itself. By clicking Finish, we complete the install. And no restart is required. We've saved the downloaded package containing the utilities and SDK for Unix-based applications. It's a fairly substantial download, but there are a number of tools and utilities contained in it. While the previous install was a Windows component, this downloaded package installs through a wizard. Naturally, there is an end-user license agreement to which we have to agree to be able to continue. You should review the terms of the agreement prior to accepting it. The next step is to choose to do a standard or a custom installation. You can choose a standard installation to install all of the components. If we wanted to not install certain parts of the solution, we could choose a custom install and then select which items to include or exclude. On the following screen, we have some options. First is whether to enable Set UID. Set UID is a very commonly used tool in a Unix environment, and we will install it. However, there are some potentially significant security implications to this. So if you're unfamiliar with your security policies, or if you do not know whether Set UID is needed in your environment, you should check with a Unix administrator and learn how to proceed. The second option involves case sensitivity. We chose to enable it, since we'll use it in our Unix environment and we want to be consistent. Just like in the Set UID example, you should check with someone prior to installing it if you are unsure about the standards in your network. As we watch the installation, we can easily recognize the many tools and utilities that are being copied to the system. These include grep, sendmail, and the editing program VI, to name a few. This installation takes some time, but it is worthwhile to see the volume of information contained in the utilities and SDK. Without the installation of these items, we would not be able to compile and run custom Unix applications. Nor would we be able to access those programs and files through the common Unix shells. As we near completion, the system performs an update of security information. And the typical final installation tasks of product registration, publication, and cleanup. Unlike the installation of the SUA component, after completing the wizard, we have to restart the computer to complete the installation. In our case, we'll choose No and restart later. Next, we'll install Identity Management for Unix. Like SUA, this installation is included in Windows Server 2003 R2, but it is not installed by default. However, it is a simple Windows component install. Identity Management for Unix is included in the Active Directory Services component. To install Identity Management for Unix, we select the Active Directory Services component and click Details. There are additional components to Identity Management for Unix, so we'll select them and click Details again. You can see there are three components: administration components, password synchronization, and server for NIS. Depending upon our environment, we could install as many or as few of these components as necessary. For our demonstration, we'll install all of them. Again, additional files are required, so we're prompted for this install CD. Since we already copied the installation files to the system drive, we browse to that location on the local system. Again, the directory structure is exactly the same as it appears on the install CD. It's important to note that this install does require a restart for the components to be available. Certain other components do not require a restart. But for this demo, we'll click No and restart later once all components are installed. The installation of Microsoft services for NFS is also a Windows component included with Windows Server 2003 R2. The Microsoft services for NFS components may not be as intuitive to find as the other components. In this case, Microsoft services for NFS components are found in Other Network File and Print Services. This is because NFS is a standard Unix file server service. Within Microsoft services for NFS, there are several components. There are two services already installed. These are installed already because they're required by Server for NIS, which we installed just moments ago. We'll install all of the remaining components. These components include Client for NFS, Server for NFS, NFS Administration, and the Username Mapping Server. Again, we're required to supply additional files. Since we copied all files to the system drive, we browse to the convenient location where we saved them. The demonstration moves along reasonably quickly, and in this case, there's no restart required to complete the installation. As soon as we finish the wizard, we can use the NFS tools. Now, let's take a closer look at all these features, starting with password synchronization. Password synchronization makes it easy for users to maintain one username and password for Windows domains and Unix systems by synchronizing the passwords between systems when one of them changes. Depending on how password synchronization and the Unix servers are configured, synchronization can be one-way or two-way. Password synchronization runs as an extension of the LSA service on the Windows side. On the Unix side, it is achieved by running a Unix daemon called Single Sign-On Daemon, or SSOD. The Windows Password Sync service and the SSOD Unix daemon exchange encrypted password data. On the Unix end, the password change is implemented via the Pluggable Authentication Model, or PAM. Several Unix variants are supported by synchronization services, including Hewlett-Packard's HPUX version 11, Red Hat Linux version 6.2 and later, Sun Microsystems Solaris version 7, and IBM AIX version 4.3.3. Now, let's look at how you can integrate directory services across platforms. Server for NIS helps integrate Windows and Unix-based network information service servers by enabling an Active Directory domain controller to act as a master NIS server for one or more NIS domains. Identity management for Unix includes an easy-to-use wizard that a Windows domain administrator can use to export NIS domain maps to Active Directory entries. Once this is done, an Active Directory domain controller running server for NIS becomes the master server for the NIS domain. Unix identity management features in Windows Server 2003 R2 facilitate this. Server for NIS stores both standard and non-standard NIS map data in Active Directory. So NIS creates a single namespace for the Windows and NIS domains. This you can manage using a single set of tools. You can easily create, modify, and delete user accounts for Windows and Unix domains at the same time. A user who has accounts on both Windows and Unix can be managed from Active Directory with all attributes necessary for the respective domain and namespace. You can migrate multiple NIS domains to the same Windows-based Active Directory domain controller. These domains can be merged with each other or kept separate. You can migrate NIS map data in a staged manner by migrating NIS maps one at a time. Server for NIS can support multiple NIS domains concurrently. Maps that belong to multiple domains can also reside concurrently in Active Directory. Requests from a client or another server in a domain receive data from a map in the same domain. Let's go back to our demo environment. In this demo, we'll migrate the NIS map. We'll pull data from the NIS account store into the Active Directory account store. First, let's look at the Unix Identity Management snap-in. The snap-in is accessible from the Start menu. It is this snap-in that allows us to configure the server for NIS. Once it loads, you'll see the Actions pane on the right-hand side. The Actions pane is a new feature in MMC 3.0, which is new to Windows Server 2003 R2. Through the Unix Identity Management snap-in, we can view the NIS servers and perform configuration. Here we can see that we have the Windows server configured as a NIS master server, and the Perth server, a Unix server, is a NIS subordinate. We can also see that there are several NIS maps in this domain from the snap-in. Now we'll work from the Unix side. We'll open a console terminal and gather some information about this server. Here, we can see that our Unix server is connected to the Flow DC01 server, which is our Windows Server 2003 R2 domain controller. If we type another command, we'll be able to see that the host has not yet received any NIS maps from the master server. The great thing about the Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2 is that it allows us to create Unix users from the Windows platform through the Windows integration with NIS. To demonstrate this, we'll create a new group in Active Directory called Unix Users. Now that the group is created, we'll adjust the group properties to configure their settings and attributes as we would normally. Yet, we can make the NIS domain our Active Directory domain and set that through the Unix Attributes tab. If we look at one specific user, such as John Smith, we can easily add him to the Unix NIS domain in similar fashion. Next, we'll export the NIS map. We start back at our identity management snap-in. And with just a few keystrokes, we can easily initiate the update. Looking now at the Unix server, we'll perform the same command in the terminal console. We can see that the host now has a valid NIS map. Now we'll take a look at the NIS data migration wizard. This will effectively pull the NIS data into Active Directory. We won't perform the complete data pull, but we'll produce a log and test the addition to Active Directory. First, we have to enter the Unix NIS domain name, which in our case is the Windows Domain Controller. Next, we choose some identity options. And then select the NIS maps that we want to migrate. Then we give the directory a name, and we ensure that we're migrating into the existing domain. We'll also preserve names so that they appear the same on both platforms. If everything works properly, we see where it read the maps and we won't see any errors. This is a powerful feature that allows us to easily migrate users from NIS into Active Directory. Server for NIS facilitates a variety of interoperation scenarios, including migration, coexistence, or a combination, all with the ease of use of a Windows environment. We can now view the logs. We can see that not only did we complete the wizard correctly, but it produced the right information to migrate NIS data. Next, let's look at Microsoft services for NFS. Traditionally, there's been a barrier between Unix systems and Windows systems. The Unix NFS protocol is not inherently compatible with the Windows SMB protocol, which prevents interoperation of file systems across the disparate platforms. The challenge is to make a mixed environment work together in such a way that files and folders on a Windows server can be accessed from a Unix server using the native Unix utilities. Those utilities are mount and umount. And that a Windows client can access shared files and folders on a Unix server using the normal methods to map a drive. There are always at least two solutions: a Windows SMB server running on the Unix server, or adding NFS to Windows. From a performance and administration point of view, the best solution is to install the NFS components on the Windows server. So let's talk about how this can be done. Microsoft Services for Network File System, or MSNFS, provides Windows-based implementations of both the client and server aspects of Network File System, as well as related services and utilities. The primary purpose of MSNFS is to provide an interoperability solution for enterprise businesses that have both Windows-based and Unix-based clients. MSNFS supports the Network File System protocol and provides file sharing interoperability between Windows and Unix machines. It also provides a strategy for migrating from mixed or Unix-based client environments to Windows. Moreover, MSNFS is now an integrated part of Windows Server. MSNFS can provide full 64-bit support. This is a new feature. It also provides better interoperation between SMB and NFS systems. There's improved reliability, and there's also support for NFS devices through the MKNOD web service call. Now, let's look at who would use NFS. NFS helps solve some key interoperability problems. The most common scenario is when you're working in an environment with clients and servers on both Windows and Unix platforms. Workers who use Unix workstations invariably need access to files on Windows servers, and workers who use Windows client workstations need to access files on Unix servers. Microsoft Services for NFS solves both of these problems through the different components. The core components are NFS Server, NFS Client, and the Username Mapping Server. Now, let's look at each of these components in more detail. Server for NFS allows Unix clients to access files on computers running Windows. For the Unix-based NFS client, this process is completely transparent and requires no additional software to be installed on the Unix side. There are some great features included in Server for NFS. Let's talk about those next. Server for NFS includes support for new Windows Server 2003 features, including Volume Shadow Copy Service. With Server for NFS, snapshot copies of shared files and folders as they existed at the time of the snapshot are accessible in hidden directories as read-only files, allowing recovery to a point in time. Another great benefit is that the NFS service is fully cluster-aware, supporting active-active NFS sharing. Additionally, an existing non-clustered NFS share can be upgraded to a cluster NFS share resource. Many changes to performance-related registry keys are dynamically recognized. With this enhancement, network administrators can easily try many kinds of changes without having to reboot, making performance tuning under real-world conditions practical. The translation of Windows permissions into Unix permissions on NFS shares has been significantly improved, while maintaining consistency with Windows Server 2003 security models. Now, let's look at the client. Client for NFS allows Windows computers to access files and directories that are exported from NFS file servers and requires no additional software on Unix hosts. Let's look at the details of Client for NFS. Client for NFS is both faster and better behaved in mixed environments compared to previous versions of the client. These improvements include the ability to set setUID, setGID, and sticky bits, and create symbolic links. These are important functionality additions. Plus the mount and file system traversal syntax expected by Unix and Linux users is fully supported and integrated into MSNFS. Client for NFS uses directory caching at the client, significantly improving the perception of speed by the user. The mount command provides a case sensitivity option to improve performance against Unix shares. Client for NFS also improves support for international character sets, including updating the mount command and providing support for Japanese, Korean, and Chinese character sets. Let's look at another tool included in Windows Server 2003 R2. Username mapping provides centralized credentials mapping services for SUA, client for NFS, and server for NFS. It allows administrators to create one-to-one and many-to-one maps between Windows and Unix user and group accounts, even though the user and group names in both environments may not be identical, and to maintain a single mapping database for the entire enterprise. The many-to-one mapping feature allows administrators to associate multiple Windows accounts with a single Unix account in cases where only a few accounts are required on Unix to provide different classes of access permission. For example, the users on the Unix side may include Java developers, web developers, database administrators, and backup operators. Username mapping can create simple and advanced maps. In a simple user map, users and groups in a Windows domain map one-to-one to Unix users and groups who have the same name in both the Windows and Unix domains. Non-matching users and groups are not mapped at all. Once the mapping is set, Windows users can log on to Windows using their Windows username and password, and then access Unix resources without having to supply their Unix credentials again, since the user is mapped to the appropriate UID and GID by the username mapping service. Now, let's look at another demo. In this demo, we'll see NFS server in action. Windows Server for NFS installation is quick and easy. It doesn't even require a restart. We'll dig right into it. Let's share directories over NFS. The task is virtually the same as when we share a folder in Windows. We click the New tab in the Properties dialog box and we see NFS sharing, which is where we set the name and permissions for the share. Again, the appearance is nearly identical to Windows. This makes it easy even for a novice administrator to service Unix environments for routine tasks. Now we'll administer NFS Server through the MMC. Of course, the MMC is the standard UI for all administrative tasks in the Windows environment. As we can see, the Unix interop components related to NFS can be administered through this single interface. First, we create a name map. Through the Create Advanced User Mapping dialog, we'll select the Windows account on the left side and the Unix account to which that maps on the right. The Windows domains are listed in a combo box, while NIS domain name and server name must be completed manually. However, we can still list the Unix account just like we listed the Windows accounts. We'll map the J. Smith Windows account to the J. Smith Unix account. If we select User Maps from the left pane, J. Stewart appears with the Windows taxonomy and the Unix information. Now we'll look briefly at the Server for NFS properties. There are some basic server settings, a tab for file name handling, a tab for locking settings, which allow you to specify a wait period if there's a connection interruption, and lastly, an audit logging tab, which allows you to log events and report them to the event viewer or to a text file. Now we'll access the Windows NFS share from the Unix side. Simply enter a short string of commands, and we can see that we can mount the share reasonably easily. When we complete the command, we can see that the system even shows us the Windows Server IP address in addition to the server name, which verifies that we're mounted on the NFS share on the Windows Server. We can browse the file share, but it fails on the first attempt because we're logged in as the administrator on the Unix server. We have to run as Jay Smith, who, as we saw, has an identity mapped to a Windows user account in Active Directory with access to the server. Once this is established, the user can view the complete contents of the NFS share. Now let's move on to talk about SUA. The functionality in SUA is similar to what Interix did in SFU. SUA allows you to compile and run native Unix programs and scripts on Windows Server 2003 R2. The Interix subsystem was added to SFU in version 3.0 when it replaced the MKS-derived corn shell and utilities. These earlier shell and utilities were simply emulation layers running on top of the Windows operating system. SUA is a fully new system which takes advantage of several performance improvements. For example, compared to past versions, SUA is considerably faster. Now let's look at the SUA architecture. The Windows operating system is architected so that any single program has available to it only the APIs from one personality of the platform at a time. That is, a single program can either use SUA APIs or Windows APIs, but not both. But if you think about an application as a collection of one or more programs which work together to provide some service or benefit, it's possible for some application to use both Windows APIs and SUA APIs to do its job. To make that work, it has to be possible for these distinct programs to work together. The SUA, Win32, and .NET Framework interfaces all provide access to functionality in the single Windows operating system kernel that supports them all. Any kernel functions, then, should be easily shared, including files, process invocation, networking, and memory. They all fall into this category. The SUA environment takes care of connecting Unix with some creative use of glue software. It's possible to wrap entire SUA programs inside COM objects or expose them through XML-based web services, and we'll talk more about those later. Through the use of these integration techniques, an application can be ported so that each component is implemented in the Windows environment most suited to it and to its future evolution. Now, let's look at the SUA new features. There are a handful of brand new features in this release, which include support for connectivity to Oracle and Microsoft SQL Server from database applications, through the Oracle Call Interface, or OCI, and the Open Database Connectivity, or ODBC, standard. Microsoft Visual Studio Debugger extension for debugging POSIX applications is included as well. SUA includes support for debugging the POSIX processes using the Visual Studio IDE. There are also utilities based on SVR5 and BSD Unix environments. The SUA download package supports two different Unix environments, both SVR5 and BSD. Additionally, with SUA in Windows Server 2003 R2, there's full 64-bit support. Now we'll demonstrate subsystem for Unix applications. We'll take a quick initial look at SUA and exactly how complete the Unix subsystem is. This is a standard Windows Server 2003 R2 installation, and we can see with the usual Windows tools. We're going to use this simple text file on the desktop to illustrate some of the functionality provided by the Unix subsystem. We can find the corn shell simply through this SUA program menu. Starting the SFU corn shell is just like starting a familiar Windows program. Let's navigate to the etc directory. As we see, when we are in the corn shell, we need to use Unix syntax for the commands. Notice that we're using the forward slash rather than the backslash of Windows. We'll view the single-rooted file system. What makes the single-rooted file system so special is that we're truly working in a system that operates like a Unix file system does. There's one root, and all drives and devices are under that one point. Let's see which processes are running. Notice that Windows applications are listed as well as SUA applications. It's the same physical system with two subsystems, Win32 and SUA. Now we can terminate a process using the kill command. The kill command needs the PID of the application to stop. By entering that command, we're able to terminate Notepad, a Windows application, from the Unix subsystem. This is a great example of the fundamental interoperability provided by the subsystem for Unix applications. And that again is it. And that again we should probably... Now, let's look at how organizations can use SUA to retain Unix skills. Many people are concerned about needing to retrain workers on a new platform. Fortunately, along with the subsystem for Unix-based applications, Microsoft provides an SDK containing over 350 tools and utilities. We have a brief list of the more commonly used tools and utilities, such as the shells, file and text processing, batch processing, a number of development tools, connectivity tools, job control utilities, and graphics tools. All of these tools behave exactly as they would on any other Unix system. No retraining is required. You can port the same applications and utilities into SUA that were used in Unix. Now let's look at how easily you can port scripts. Many administrative tasks are performed by running administrative scripts written either in the language of the shell or in Perl. Most Unix shell scripts run under SUA without a problem. Perl is one of the most popular languages for writing scripts, being second to C and corn shells. Perl's included with the SUA SDK and can be called from any directory since the location of Perl executables is used in the path, which is /usr/local/bin. Perl includes a variety of modules for file management, network access, email processing, and security management, among many more. Now let's look at Unix daemons. Unix uses daemons to run services. The environment, as implemented in SUA, uses the startup scripts in /etc/rc2.d. Only three daemons are started by default: cron, inetd, and syslogd. Unix tasks can be submitted for automatic execution with the cron scheduler. Cron is supported by both SUA and the Windows subsystem. Cron jobs are submitted by Windows command line. The cron tab utility manipulates cron tab entries, which constitute of a list of commands and when they should be run in the background. Inetd is a superdaemon that controls running of most common internet services, such as Telnet, Shell, Finger, NTalk, FTP, POP3, RLogin, and TFTP. The parameters of these services are controlled by /etc/inetd.conf file. In order to start particular services, its Windows counterpart has to be stopped. Also, by default, neither telnetd or rshd are configured for use. Syslog D logs different aspects of system activity and is configured by /etc/syslog.conf. By default, most of the logging is turned off, but can be turned on by uncommenting the corresponding lines in etc/syslog.conf configuration file and then restarting Syslog D. The logs are stored in text files. This simplifies the development of the automatic log management scripts. Now let's look more at porting applications. As a developer tasked with porting an application from Unix to the SUA environment, it's reassuring that the programming tools we've become accustomed to in the Unix environment are also available in SUA via the SUA SDK. And these are native implementations that work the same as our Unix tools. This means that our scripts and makefiles will not have to be altered for us to perform the porting. As you have seen, you have access to a full-feature Unix development environment in SUA. The SUA SDK provides a front end for Microsoft Visual Studio with which C programs can be compiled. This is a link from the CC command to the C compiler in Visual Studio. This provides a native Unix environment for development based on a native Windows compiler. The development environment includes standard Unix development tools such as the GNU GCC, G++, and G77 compilers, and the GDB debugger. Both GCC and G++ are ports of the popular GNU C compiler, version 3.3. The G77 front end is a port of G77, version 0.5.21. These front ends eventually invoke the same compiler engine, hence the similarities. The Make utility in this release is based on the BSD 4.4 version of Make. The Lex and Yak utilities are based on Flex and BSD Yak. The Revision Control System, or RCS utilities, are based on the RCS 5.6 utilities. Next, we'll take a look at other components of the SUA SDK. The SUA SDK contains various interfaces, libraries, tools, and utilities. These include the POSIX 1 interfaces, the POSIX 2 interfaces, the International Standards Organization, American National Standards Institute, or ISO ANSI, C libraries, and many useful interfaces and libraries found on open systems. It also includes libraries for Lex, Yak, Curses, and TermCap. The SUA SDK also provides the C, GCC, C++, and X11 libraries. The SUA SDK supports shared or dynamically linked libraries. Dynamic linking is supported through standard calls, which include DLOpen, DLSim, DLClose, and DLError. Dynamically linked applications and shared libraries can only be created using GCC 1 and the other GNU compiler tools. However, CC 1 and C89 1 will still produce statically linked binaries. Next, we'll take a look at other components of the SUA SDK. There are a number of tools that assist in application migration. The SUA subsystem gives developers a familiar, Unix-compatible scripting and programming environment with support for multiple languages and libraries. These include Perl, C, Fortran 77, and C++. SUA provides updated versions of the GNU programming languages and tools optimized for SUA as part of the GNU SDK. Since all the standard Unix tools and utilities are part of SUA, there's no need to purchase an add-on package from a third party to get the tools you expect and require in order to get your work done. All the familiar tools are available and work exactly as a Unix administrator would expect. The utilities include familiar text processing tools, such as grep, less, awk, sed, pr, tr, and so forth. Batch processing tools such as at, cron, and batch, as well as job control tools such as ps, nice, and kill, graphic tools like xterm, xrdb, xset, and xclock, development tools like GCC, GDB, Make, and connectivity tools like Bind, SendMail, and FTP. They're all there, and they work exactly as you would expect. Even man is just the same as it always has been. SUA not only provides a full set of APIs, compilers, and utilities for creating and migrating Unix applications, but it also provides a complete environment that behaves as Unix applications expect. This makes it not only possible, but also relatively easy to port an existing Unix application to run under SUA. The SUA SDK includes X11 libraries, header files, and various tools for building X Windows applications. However, SUA does not include an X Windows server, which means that X Windows applications that need to be displayed on the local workstation will need an X Windows server installed. For character mode applications that use curses, the SUA SDK includes the NCurses implementation of curses, written by Eric Raymond and Zed Ben Halim. Another important addition to SUA is full support for symbolic links. This means that a file with multiple aliases can be accessed by any of those aliases. RINETD is a utility that redirects TCP connections from one IP address port to another. Next, we'll see these concepts in action through another demo. In this demo, we'll port a variety of scripts and show how easily they work between our Unix environment and SUA. First, we need to create the directory structure that we'll be working with. Then we'll display the directory structure so we can see the resulting directory tree. This fundamentally shows the admin script functioning in Unix. The all files script will execute the given command in all subdirectories from where it is executed. In our example, we'll execute the ls command in all the subdirectories. Then we execute the rm empty dir script, and this script removes all empty directories. Finally, we have the structure again with the empty directories removed. Here we saw what this script did on the Unix system. Now let's go to the SUA system and see what changes, if any, there will have to be. We'll perform the same steps as we did in the Unix environment. As you can see, there's no difference in the syntax or commands used to execute this. There are no changes needed to make this script work in SUA. This is because of the standard corn shell that is used in SUA. That's it. Job scheduling is a central part of most administration. In Unix, the scheduling environment uses cron as the daemon that starts jobs according to the schedule. First, we're going to look at this cron job running on the Unix system. We'll move to the SUA environment and see the cron tab --l command list the currently scheduled jobs. This is the standard scheduling environment of Unix, and it is implemented in SUA. The script not only appends the current date and time to a file, but through cron can serve as a start for many different scripts. Now that we have a working script, let's move to scheduling. We'll append the file to build a schedule for our job. Once we save the cron tab file, the job is activated. Those are the steps involved in defining a scheduled job. Now we need to see that the job really runs. Using the more utility, we can list the content of the log file, and as you saw, there are indeed entries. That's all there is to it. When you need to migrate a cron job, you use the same standard Unix scheduling architecture. And the output is exactly what we would expect. This Perl script is a standard Unix administration script. The Perl script can be scheduled with cron the same way we can schedule a shell script or an executable file. Once we have the Perl script developed and moved to a central location, we can use the cron tab utility to add a schedule. Here we'll schedule the script to run every 15 minutes. Perl is a standard language, and as such, it is portable. Interix also includes ActiveState Perl 5.8, which is the de facto implementation for Perl on all platforms. We've now ported the Perl script and scheduled it to run in SUA. Let's talk about a few more concepts around ported applications. there are fairly massive possibilities for extension of applications ported to SUA. Because Visual Studio 2005 was designed to take advantage of SUA, it opens your Unix applications to take advantage of the many devices and delivery methods possible by leveraging the .NET framework. In coming slides, we'll talk about the pathway to achieve this. Moving from a legacy environment to another Unix variant or Linux distribution may achieve some price-performance value, but the applications look and feel the same, and the migration pathway can be risky depending upon the variant to which you choose to migrate. So what does extensibility mean? With the Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2, you get the best of both worlds. The ability to easily run Unix applications side by side with modern, best-of-breed Windows and .NET applications, all on a single, easy-to-manage, familiar platform. This is facilitated by the subsystem for Unix-based applications and the SUA SDK. SUA is the easiest way to take advantage of previous investments in Unix-based legacy applications on Windows. Since SUA is a complete subsystem, you can run Unix scripts as is on Windows, without having to modify or tailor them for a new or foreign environment. In most cases, you can simply recompile the applications and they run on Windows. Because SUA is tightly integrated with the Win32 subsystem, Windows-based applications are able to access Unix-based applications as well. The .NET framework allows you to further extend legacy Unix-based applications to a host of devices and to the web using the Component Object Model, or COM, and XML Web Services. You can use COM to accomplish some of this. When a Unix application is ported to SUA, we can access that application in the Windows environment using POSIX.exe. The .NET framework provides classes that are used to wrap processes that are outside .NET managed code. Through the process start info and process classes, we can invoke the Unix application and capture the data returned. In other words, we can wrap the Unix application in a .NET component. The result of these steps are that our Unix application has been extended to take advantage of the Windows environment. The key components that allow SUA to extend the Unix application are SUA and the SDK, and the .NET framework and Visual Studio.NET. If you do this successfully, you can really take your applications to the next level. XML Web Services are similar to components in that they represent black box functionality that allow developers to further extend ported applications. The applications are extended by adding features to a web form, Microsoft Windows applications, or even another XML web service, without worrying about how the supporting service is implemented. XML web services are designed to interact directly with other applications over the internet. As a result, XML web services do not have user interfaces. Instead, XML web services provide standard defined interfaces called contracts that describe the services that they provide. An XML web service can be used internally by a single application, or it can be used externally by many applications that access it through the internet. A COM-wrapped Unix application can easily be exposed as an XML web service and made available to any client anywhere, provided, of course, that the client has the proper security credentials. Let's see what's next on our agenda. So we've established why you might need features that allow your Unix systems to interoperate with your Windows systems, and we talked about the features in Windows Server 2003 R2 that would allow you to configure your systems for that. Next, we'll explore key scenarios facilitated by the Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2. Let's look at specific scenarios. The Unix interoperability features in Windows Server 2003 R2 make good intuitive sense, as they remove many of the time-consuming productivity killers that we talked about very early in this session. It helps streamline environments by providing many conveniences to end users, as well as management tools for administrators. These features allow IT organizations of all sizes to retain knowledge of Unix and Linux systems and the tools that they've been allowing your organization to be productive and perform your business can stay in place. The extensibility of Unix applications running in SUA is key to increasing the value of the application to the organization. Using the .NET framework in Visual Studio 2005, you can enable these applications to be consumed on a variety of devices and through a variety of mechanisms. There's another scenario that we should discuss. It may be hard to get budget to rewrite perfectly good line of business applications simply to enable a migration to Windows, or to consider the interruption and training required in deploying a new application. In these scenarios, consider coexistence of Unix applications on Windows. This has several benefits, including the ability to maintain the application in a well-supported environment that benefits from the scalability, performance, and security features of Windows Server 2003 R2. Like any alternative solution, there are trade-offs and limitations, but this is a viable solution for organizations whose Unix applications are a barrier to migration. Now let's wrap up. In this session, we've reviewed the many features in Windows Server 2003 R2 that enable Unix interoperability. These features allow you to move ahead with migration or coexistence scenarios without discarding the applications and skills that sustain your organization. The subsystem for Unix applications facilitates the application interoperability and extensibility. To get more information on the products and technologies we've covered today, there are some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit microsoft.com/technet/ADD52 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft and others. There are two books, Unix and Windows 2000 Interoperability Guide, published by Prentice Hall, as well as Windows NT and Unix Integration Guide, published by Osborne Publishing, that may be of value to you as you pursue interoperability solutions. You can evaluate your abilities with an assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Microsoft Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Microsoft Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft certification program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals, and it's a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified system administrator, or MCSA, or a systems engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Holly Dias, Senior Marketing Manager for TechNet.
Many of you may be familiar with TechNet events and the TechNet website, but have you ever realized the benefits of being a TechNet Plus subscriber? A TechNet Plus subscription is the most convenient and reliable resource for IT professionals evaluating, managing, and supporting Microsoft technologies. With a TechNet Plus subscription, you can evaluate Microsoft software without time limits. This benefit allows you to try products at your own pace and make informed decisions without worrying about the software expiring. TechNet Plus evaluation software includes the latest Microsoft operating systems, server applications, and Office products. With TechNet Plus, you can also save time resolving technical issues. TechNet Plus subscriptions include a range of support options, including the complete Microsoft knowledge base delivered each month on portable media, and two complimentary professional support incidents to address your technical roadblocks. TechNet Plus offers centralized access to current, authoritative technical guidance, software, and support resources from Microsoft. IT professionals around the world rely on TechNet Plus every day to help them build their technical expertise and be successful in implementing Microsoft solutions. For details, visit www.microsoft.com/TechNet/subscriptions. On the subject of TechNet resources, the new TechNet support page outlines all the support resources available for you. The enhanced TechNet troubleshooting and support page outlines all the ways IT professionals can get support assistance from Microsoft. From free online support options to subscription-based support, you'll find all your Microsoft support resources in one location at www.microsoft.com/TechNet/support. TechNet also provides a number of community resources. There are a number of free resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public news groups. The TechNet newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post their technical questions, and because they are subscribers, are guaranteed a response to any technical questions by next business day from community experts or Microsoft support professionals. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can ever cover on this slide. Plus, the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details where you can attend a TechNet event live. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk with Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. Thank you very much for listening to this session,